All right, we were looking at, 2 weeks ago, overcoming ingratitude, and we were looking at putting your emphasis on spiritual things, and that is, if you want to be thankful, you can be thankful for those things that are spiritual: remission of sins, a mansion in heaven, and peace is what we left off with 2 weeks ago. Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter 1:8. 1 Peter 1:8. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. What's the difference between joy and happiness?
Happiness is connected to a happening.
Happiness is connected to a happening. I like to connect it to a...
Joy is connected to a happening.
I guess it's how you define... I guess it's how you define the word. This is how I look at it. I love football. I love football games.
Make you happy?
They make me happy. Only if I'm winning, right? That's what I think. If you're if you're sitting in the stadium and your team is winning and you know the quarterback throws a great pass and the running back catches it and scores a touchdown and everybody jumps on their feet and yells, that to me that's happiness, and it's connected to a happening. The same token, football team is losing, they fumble, the other team picks it up, runs it in for a touchdown, you're down by so many points, there's 1 second left in the game's over. That's unhappiness. And it's connected to a happening. Joy, however, is something that's ongoing and it's deep, and it's not connected to a happening, but it's connected to our faith in God. And probably also connected to our self-esteem. Remember, we've talked about self-esteem from the first night of class. And so if you're going to be a joyful person, you're probably somebody that has good self-esteem and understands what joy is and doesn't connect that with happenings. Because I tell you what, I mean, there's there's that commercial that says life comes at you fast. That's for real. You know, something can just boom happen to you, which could send you down the tubes real quick. But if you have joy in your heart, if you know your position with God, you know that God is in control. Then you can be full of joy no matter what circumstance you find yourself in. And to me, that's the difference between joy and happiness. But, I mean, that's just to me in football, which is very important. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Divine love never fails. My love can fail. Why? Because I'm a human. I'm a human. I'm full of human frailties. And concerns and complaints and whatever else you want to throw in there. But divine love never fails. And we can be grateful and show gratitude that we have a God like that, that never fails us. I think, you know, being human and seeing humans interact with each other, it's easy to take on those characteristics and put them on to God. And we shouldn't do that. God doesn't fail us. All right. Let's go ahead. James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You want to be happy? Think about that crown of life. I taught, I don't know, maybe it was a sermon or something, but Emmett Smith used to play for the Dallas Cowboys. See, there goes football again. So you got me going. Emmett Smith used to play for the Dallas Cowboys. Of course, he's retired, and then he became a dancing star. Well, anyway, when he joined the NFL as a rookie, he took a piece of paper and he wrote down that his number one goal was to become the all-time rusher in NFL history. That means that he's going to have more yards recorded than any other back in NFL history. That was his goal as a rookie. Near the end of his career, he made it. He did that. But Emmett Smith said something, and I really, really take this to heart, and that is, Emmett Smith said, a goal is not a goal until you write it down. And if you haven't written down, I want to go to heaven, you need to do it. Do it now, do it tonight, do it tomorrow. Somewhere, write down, my number one goal is to go to heaven. And if anything, just based on what Emmett Smith said, a goal is not a goal until you write it down. And so we can be happy that we have a crown of life waiting for us. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Why can we be happy and full of gratitude? Because we have a Savior, that's why. If anything, we have a Savior. We might not have a lot of riches. We might not have a big family. We might not have anybody. We might not, you know, you go on. I don't have the house. I don't have, you know, whatever. But I have Jesus Christ. And I have a promise that he won't leave me. How much money would you pay for that? It's priceless. And yet it's free. And so we can be happy because we have a Savior. And we should show gratitude for that. Let's take some lessons from the past. Israel was guilty of complaining and murmuring soon after their deliverance from Egypt. Here's Exodus 15:24. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" They left bondage, slavery. They were with Moses. They saw the miracles. They saw the Egyptian army defeated, and now they're going to what? Complain. They're going to complain. It's time to complain. And I'm sure we're all, at one time or another, you know, we complain. And complaining doesn't necessarily have to be a wrong thing, I don't think. You know, if you need something at work, you can complain about it so something better happens. I don't think that's wrong. But what about this complaining? What about the Israelites complaining that they don't have anything to drink? You think it's attitude?
It's ingratitude.
I'm sorry, ingratitude. All right. But what about that? It's not wrong to be thirsty.
They just had a God who delivered them from Egypt by parting the waters of the Red Sea, and they don't think that he can give them a drink of water.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. That's good. That's right.
Even with all the plagues that was presented before them, they saw the plagues that the Lord put down before Pharaoh. Moses all knows.
Right. Right. They still didn't believe. God isn't going to give them water to drink after he defeated the Egyptian army, after all those miracles that they saw before their eyes. They were able to walk out of Egypt freely. And so they decided to complain. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you have brought up us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" They are complaining, aren't they? Not only that, but they're doubting. Now they're saying, "Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt? Look what we had. We had food, we had water, we had a place to live. And now here we are out in the wilderness, and there's no water, and it's hot." Yes. Right, yes. Absolutely. Hopefully that's where we're going with this, is that they didn't have the faith and trust that they should have, and so they complained, they murmured. We can contrast this with Paul. In Ephesians 5:20, "Giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then Philippians 2:14. Anybody want to say that? That was our, was that last month that was our memory verse? No, it's this month. Is it this month or last month? A little help here, people. Philippians 2:14, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." No? Okay. That's a good one, though. What's that?
This month is hospitality without grumbling.
Without grumbling?
Yeah.
I wish somebody would have told me. I was grumbling all the time. I'm going to somebody's house this Friday, too, and I hope I don't grumble. If I do, hopefully I'll get, you know, catch me. Oh, that's right. Thank you. I'm not hosting, am I? All right. I was hosting. But Paul instructs us to be thankful in everything. Never forget the giver. James chapter 1, verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Every good gift comes from God. Don't forget the giver. Don't take God's gifts for granted. And we talked about that, I think, 2 weeks ago also. It's easy to take things for granted. You know, we can fall in that trap pretty easy until maybe something happens. And you don't take it for granted anymore. There's a movie that, I guess maybe it's 2 years old, maybe 3 years old, called Facing the Giants. And in this movie, there's a football coach, and he's the head coach of, I guess it's a Christian school. And the team isn't doing very well. And he really struggles with the team not winning. The players are struggling until he comes with this kind of, all of a sudden, the light bulb comes on of what they're actually trying to do. And what they're trying to do is not actually win football games. And so from this movie, Facing the Giants, I have a saying. The coach says, "And if we win, we praise him. And if we lose, we praise him. Either way, we honor him by our actions and our attitudes. Wouldn't that be a great way to live? That's how we're supposed to live. Maybe I'm different or goofy in this, but I really do take things in a win-loss column. And a saying like this from that movie, it really helped me. If I win, I'm going to praise God. If I lose, I'm going to praise God. Either way. Because I'm not here to win football games, or I'm not here to do this. I'm here. I was created by God. I'm here to praise God. That's why I'm here. And I can do that no matter what the circumstance, no matter what happens, no matter what someone says to me, no matter how I'm hurt or displeased with someone or some event, I can still give God the honor that is due. So that comes from facing the giants. Going on to lesson 3. Overcoming discontent. Contentment is not self-satisfaction. Webster says contentment is freedom from care or discomfort. Contentment. Wow. I had a conversation with someone. He doesn't live here anymore. But he said, you know what? I wish I could learn to be content. Because if I was content, I would have everything. I thought, wow, you're right. I wish I could learn to be content. Difficult? I believe so. Just because of what happens to us in our daily lives and circumstances that we find ourselves in really can take away that feeling of contentment very, very quickly. Can you think of a time in your life when you were just really content? And how long did it last?
Right now.
Right now. Right. That's Joe. Remember, Joe said he does not want a mansion in heaven. He wants a shack. I remember that from 2 weeks ago. But he's content with a shack. So contentment can be grabbed onto. So we have to learn how to overcome being discontent. A discontentive person, I guess. I guess I made up another word. Some of our teachers in this room might like this one. Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 3, verse 14. I threw this in for us teachers. Who's talking in Luke chapter 3, verse 14? It says, likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Have you ever picked up one of those get-rich-quick schemes? If you do this and your money problems are going to be over. Fill out that form and maybe you can have that knock on the door and there's the person with the big check. You think, wow, if that happened, the kids get to go to college, this happens, I get to buy this, this happens. And here's God maybe saying, be content. It's a big difference, isn't it? I just want to throw that in, the wages thing. Be content with your wages. Yeah.
That's the only way to not stay true in that
Yeah, good attitude, right. Be content. It's easy, you know, if you don't think you need to be paid more, of course, it's easy to be discontent, isn't it? And say, how come I'm not making more for what I do? Okay. All right, foes of contentment, the enemies of contentment. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. If we covet, we're not going to be content. It's as easy as that. Not only should we be content, but this verse says, be content with such things as you have. Lose desires that are beyond your reach. I'm not saying don't set goals, don't try to be the head of the company or anything like that. But I tell you what, it's easy to fall in kind of, you know, a fantasy life. I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish. And you just keep on going like that. And the Bible says to be content. Let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 24 through 34. No one can serve two masters, for either he will take the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what will you eat or what will you drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Words of Jesus Christ, trying to put contentment in our hearts. If we're going to covet, we are not going to be a person that's content. Unbelief. For a person that has unbelief, we're not going to be a person that's full of content. Then we go back to envy. All right, go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 8 and 9. Then Saul was very angry, and saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they ascribe only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward. Envy. If you have envy in your heart, Are you going to be a content person? No, no way. That envy is going to eat inside of you. And you're not going to be content with what you have like the scripture says we should.
Give you stomach ulcers too.
Give you stomach ulcers. I don't want those either. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Verse 25 and 32. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked them what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fattened calf." But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost, but now is found." Envious situation. We're not going to be content. Number four, pessimism. Do you concentrate on the thorns or the flowers? You ever have a conversation with some? I mean, it doesn't take very long to see if they're a negative person or a positive person. It really doesn't take very long. You have a conversation with somebody, you meet somebody, and everything is negative coming out of their mouth. They're full of pessimism. I like the saying, "Do you concentrate on the thorns or the flowers?" You know, you have a rose. And it's a beautiful rose, but it has thorns on it. But it's still a rose. So are we going to be people that concentrate on the thorns in life, or people that concentrate on the flowers in life? Do we have a choice? Sure. Of course we have a choice. Hopefully we're going to be people that concentrate on the flowers in life, because they're there. God hasn't taken them away from us. We just need to be able to open our eyes and see them. And if our vision is clouded with envy and ingratitude, then we're not going to have that ability to see the flowers. We're going to be so busy doing other things. We're going to come up with thorns all the time. And hopefully we can be optimists instead of pessimists. Another one, self-pity. Back to Luke chapter 15. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends." Man, I mean, I can just hear him saying it like that. He's angry. He's going to go into self-pity. You know, if we start with self-pity, it's going to cloud our judgment. It's going to cloud our ability to see those flowers, and we'll be picking up thorns. Complaining deepens the thoughts of discontentment. The actions that we make, the words that come out of out of our mouth, those really deepen thoughts. About anything. I mean, just we can apply it to all kinds of things. Just not discontentment. But all kinds of things. We have to be careful. And I would say, be careful what you hear and what you look at too. It's very important. Cultivating contentment. Back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. I think it's important to remember that Paul learned contentment. Was Paul born with contentment? No. He learned how to be content. You know, none of us are born content. I have noticed, though, and especially working with children, is that there's some people seem to be patient, and some people seem to be impatient. And having four children of my own, it seems to be a degree there of patience. And I just wonder if there's a degree of contentment. But Paul said that he learned how to be content in all things. You're looking at somebody that has a huge task in front of him. You're looking at somebody that gave up a lot to be an apostle. You're looking at somebody that's thrown into prison. All kinds of bad things are happening to him. All kinds of accusations are going to be thrown at him. And yet he says that he has learned to be content in all things. Wow. I didn't hear that.
What has God promised?
What has God promised?
Because God promised us that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. So no matter how bad this is, something good is going to come out.
Yeah. Jack, you say in Romans 8:28, all things come together for good. Something good is going to come out. Yes. Content is deep down in the soul, isn't it? It's a position that you have with God. Yeah, Joe mentioned don't put laziness or complacency with contentment. You know, we should not have a complacent attitude toward anything, especially those things that are spiritual. Count your blessings. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When we studied envy, this was a verse that was mentioned about counting your blessings. If you want to be content, spiritually content, count your blessings. Write them down. Right, go ahead. You know, write them down, and you'll see what God has done for you. Transfer your attention to higher matters. Absolutely opposite of self-pity. Self-pity can engulf us, bring us down. Concentrate on higher matters. Be involved with something, something that's higher than yourself, something that is bigger than yourself. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. We should have that attitude, that we're here to finish his work. Keep busy and you won't have time for those things that foster discontentment. Two questions. Stephen, Dirk.
I keep thinking back to when you first started and said the difference between faith and joy was based in, happiness and joy was based in our faith. And throughout all this, I keep thinking that our contentment, we have to understand if we have our faith in God, that our life is a vapor. When you look at how much time we live on earth compared to the thousands of years that have gone on, it's a small amount of time. But when you compare the time that we're here to eternity, it's nothing. And so our contentment may have to rest.
That's good. Dirk?
Romans 8 finishes, 8:28 finishes with, according to his purposes. If you don't have his purposes in your heart, then you
know, right. Dirk said, if you don't have his purposes in your heart, then it's all for naught. Number five, it could be worse. There's someone that we all know. I'm not going to mention him by name. And somebody said, you know what? You are the most positive person I know. And he said, that's because I always remind myself, it could be worse. It's not. But it could be. Driving down I-10 this summer with my family, we're heading for Tallahassee. The right passenger tire blew out at between 70 and 100 miles an hour. I mean, between 70 and 80. That's scary. Anybody else? I mean, that's scary, especially when you have five people with you that's depending on you. Through God's good grace, the van settled off to the shoulder. I even had the mind to put my blinker on to pull over. I didn't know it until we got back in and took off again. But it could have been worse. Wow, it could have been worse. Because when I pulled over, it was dark, and about 6-7 feet was a very steep slope, because we just went over a bypass on I-10. And I remember telling my kids about that. I said, look where we are. If we went over more, our van would have rolled over and over and over again. But it didn't. It settled where it was. And of course, you know, they're full of anxiety and what's going to happen, and you know, so was I. And long story short, we made it back, or made it to our destination. But it could have been worse. Cultivate a deep sense of appreciation for the simple things in life. 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. I like that last statement to end with this evening. Cultivate a deep sense and appreciation for the simple things in life. And of course, the simple things in life are going to be very personal to you. Something that might be very simple to you might be very complex to me, or vice versa. But if we concentrate on those simple things in life, then maybe those huge mountains and valleys that we encounter won't be so big or so deep, because we have God. And God will not leave us or forsake us. Thank you very much. Everybody gets an A again.